Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our hekima. We will be your constants. I am Dez.
I'm Ari.
And I'm Scott.
And this is Time Pop.
Oh, hey. Something different. Wow. That was so pleasant,
Desmond. It was like classy, Desmond.
Look, it was like that. Relaxing.
Yeah, that was like Desmond leaning up one elbow on the armchair.
With a pipe and some
hitting on us.
Glasses.
It's the new microphone. I got a very NPR feeling going on in here.
Yeah, right, that's
a very good way of putting it.
Wow.
Today,
do you want to talk about current events?
No. Today, in the present, we will be discussing, is it a needle?
A needle
in a time stack.
A needle in a time stack?
Oh, it is not. It is simply needle in a time stack. From the past, you will listen to it in the future, which is now. Needle in a Time Stack came out in 2021, rated R, 1 hour and 51 minutes, directed by John Ridley, starring Leslie Odom Jr., Freddie Pinto, Cynthia Erivo.
Frida Pinto.
Frida Pinto.
Frida, what did I say?
People confuse her with her brother, Freddie. You said Freddie. Hey, I'm Freddie Pinto.
Frederico.
Give me a job.
That's Fred Garbanzo. That's who that is.
Welcome to your bean podcast. Send us whatever your favorite beans are.
Beans, 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 beans.
Beans.
Hello?
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 If you can hear this, it's not too late. I return to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel and pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
Beans.
Wait, why was this rated R?
That's a great question, Ari.
There's no violence. The language is minimal.
This should have been like PG-13 or PG or something. There's like nothing.
They just want to look cool.
There's no reason why this should have been rated R.
Huh. Is that consistent throughout all the websites?
Like, did it really are?
That's what he just said.
It is. On IMDb, it's rated R. I don't know what cut they got.
Oh man, we were shortchanged.
I want to see that.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. That's Pornhub. Pornhub. Let me do it. Needle.
What? Are you serious?
No.
Needle and a hump stack.
There we go. Thank you, Scott. Oh, wow. Wow.
What's wow?
It's rated G.
Rotten Tomatoes rated it R as well. It got a 36 by the critics and a 53 by the audience.
Interesting.
Yeah. I looked up a bunch of reviews. Most were not favorable.
Let's get into it. I'm going to jump into this movie. I'm going to start talking about the movie because I don't want to get into final judgments yet. We're 2 minutes into this podcast.
Yeah. Too early for judgments. First impressions?
That is going to go ahead. If you got some first impressions, that
I do first impressions. Okay. This movie goes into some really unique things that we have not seen in any other time travel film. The phasing, these time, should we go in the premise?
Well, just like all of our podcasts, we assume that you've seen the movie already and you're coming along for this ride already knowing what the heck we're talking about.
Right. So we'll break it down more. But yes, rich people in this not too far future can go into time. But what happens is it causes time phasing. So ripples of time come through like a natural disaster, like a storm.
It's like water.
Yeah.
And then the world has shifted and everyone has to adjust and like check in with each other and be like, do you still remember me and what happened? And that is really great version of a butterfly effect that we have not seen. I love the way they treat it like a weather storm. We're like, okay, we have our... If this happens, what do? We call each other, we check in, make sure what is the same and what is different. And for them, it's so normal. For them, it's like, well, yeah, another phase happened. This one was pretty rough. Yeah. I don't have a sister anymore. You know, it's really, really unique. I thought that was super cool. So that's your positive bit.
Yeah. The time travel in this is really, really cool. I think the idea in this, and Scott and I were just talking about this at the roller rink the other day, because when we're not time traveling, we're doing our best to spend some time in the 80s. Where we strap on some roller skates and we go party. And I was saying that like, it's such a bummer. These movies that have such a cool time travel aspect to it, but don't do enough with it. And then it gets put in this box like it's an IP. Like, we can't use that anymore. Like, I would love somebody to see this movie and just take the time travel aspect and run with it a little bit. But it's like,
yeah, I know what you mean. This is a love story that happens to have time travel in it.
Yeah.
This is not a time travel story. This is a love story with a little bit of time travel.
And to have such a cool time travel idea in it.
It's a cool concept. It is.
And
it's linear, Des. It's linear. Linear time travel. It's so exciting for you. But they go back and I love it. It's also, you know, it's a statement on, you know, yeah, like rich people can do whatever they want with no consequences. So rich people can go to the past. That's like a vacation, like they can time travel.
Yeah, why not?
But it can cause ripples. It's obviously very dangerous. And theoretically, they're not allowed to change anything or they get caught by the time or the time police. Who would catch you? Nobody would know. Our memories would all be changed. Sorry, we're going to do it.
No, I know.
There's a lot of ethics to talk about with this. Like, yeah. Scott's got his hands full when it comes to time travel ethics with this movie, for sure.
But it's really, yeah, it's really interesting. And again, shows some ripple effect. If you make a change in the past, some like wave comes through and changes everybody, and they'll remember their past for like an hour or two. And then eventually that becomes their only reality. But it's not a loop, and it's not everything happening at the same time. It's linear and you can change things and it has very real effect.
All right, we're gonna get into this movie a little bit so we can get into the middle of it a little bit so we can, because I want to go ham on this. I want to set the stage. So yeah, it starts out with this couple in love, Nick and Janine, and they're at a party. They're in love. They're talking a lot about love. They keep going back to Janine doing this recording about how love is a circle. You don't know where it begins. You don't know where it ends. Everything's cool. But Nick is very concerned with phasing coming through and ruining it. Like, we don't really know what's... I forget if they... Do they talk about time travel before the first phase?
Wait, we just saw that. So the first thing is them sitting, they're on the train. Oh, no, he's at work. And then a phase happens. He calls her. He checks in with her. He's like, okay, just tell me, like, are you... She's like, yes, I'm married to you. We still have the same address. He's like, great. And then later on that night, they start having the conversation. He's worried.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like Scott said, like with this first, with the phasing coming through, like you don't know, we don't know what's happening, and you see this thing come through, and then you think, at first you think like everyone's going to get wiped out like a tidal wave.
Yeah, it looks like water.
Yeah, totally. And then you think everybody knows what's going on. Then for a minute, I thought only Nick knew what was going on, like that maybe this was just his reality that was getting phased.
Yeah.
But then as soon as the wave passes, the boss is like, okay, everyone, take five.
Check with your family.
Call your family. This is just a...
So does that mean that a wave comes through and it washes over the entire world? Is that what we're supposed to assume?
Oh.
Is that... Or the entire universe, I guess, yeah. You would have to expand it out to?
That's a really good question. Or is it only someone who it's affected? Like, let's say if it affected Ari and she's at a work thing, it happens to them in that room, but not me in a different... No, it doesn't make sense. It would have to be the whole world.
Later on, there's a little bit, there's a conflict. There's a hole with that in regards to his sister and his sister's friend. So we can wait to get into that, or we can get into it now.
We'll get into that in a minute. We'll work our way up.
So we'll get into that in a minute. Okay. Or we're just kind of doing a quick synopsis.
We do see this first phase though, in the very beginning of the movie, you saw him taking his dog out for a walk. And after this phase, he now has a cat. That's the only difference.
Yeah, that's right.
After the first wave. Yeah, okay.
And so, yeah, so he's like, after he kind of hangs out a little while and something doesn't feel right. He's like, I don't think I like cats. And she's like, what are you talking about? You love Charlie. And so then he gets obsessed with a phasing coming through and he and his wife not knowing each other and never having been together in whatever the next phase is. And he seems to know who's going to cause that phasing too.
Yeah.
Which is her ex
husband. No, her ex-husband, Tommy, played by
Orlando Bloom.
Orlando Bloom. I almost called him by his Lord of the Rings character. It's not his name.
He answers to it though.
So they were married. So the backstory on that is they were married, Orlando Bloom and the woman playing Janine. Janine met Nick at a party, and then Orlando Bloom's marriage with Janine fell apart and Janine ended up with Nick, who is now our main character.
Yes. Is Alex here? Do we know Alex yet? Or does she not?
She was friend. Not yet. But she was mentioned. She was friends with them in car.
She's already part of the beach group.
Alex was part of the beach crew. And in this first timeline, because, you know, there's like the different chapters. What do you want to call that? Like,
It's Nick and Janine.
I know, but can you think of those as like...
Right, because once the time gets changed, it's a different situation.
It's a different change.
Well, because the word that comes to mind is alpha, but...
Okay.
My thoughts coming into this is we're already not in alpha time. Like alpha timeline got wiped out.
Yeah, he said...
not 100 years ago.
Right, but when something is changed, that's a new timeline.
Yes.
Okay, so in the first timeline when the movie opens, Nick and Janine are married. Nick and Tommy, the rich guy who Janine used to be married to, Nick and Tommy and this new person, Alex, which we don't know about yet at this point in the movie, all used to be friends in college in La Jolla. And I guess Nick and Alex were together but never married?
In college, right.
In college. And for a while after college, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think everybody was all kind of with each other at some point, and then it was just who they ended up with.
Right.
That seemed to be the significant part.
So currently in the movie, Nick is paranoid that Tommy, who used to be married to Janine, his current wife, Nick's current wife, he's afraid that he's going back in time, something that they call jaunting, mm-hmm. right? Time jaunting. Because he's super rich and he can afford it. And time travel in this universe is really expensive and only the rich can do it.
Which is, that's a fun concept.
Which is, you know, realistic.
Not that far, yeah.
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 Well, apparently, but she said like, even they agreed upon, he had tried this already to like, he'd done a few incidences already in the past to kind of try to mess them up.
He knows that for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. They kind of talked about it. Like, he's like, look, he already tried a few times. Why do you think he's not going to do it again?
Wait, how does he know that he's tried already?
They said that in the beginning. How would they know? It's a good point.
Yeah.
They talked about it matter-of-factly. Like,
yeah.
He did try it a few times and she even like agreed with that, but didn't think he was going to do it anymore.
To specifically break them up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that for some reason.
Yeah, it was a real, real quick line, but...
It's like, how would you get busted on it?
So Nick and Janine are kind of bickering almost about, you know... Nick's paranoid that Tommy's going to do this. And Janine's like, no, he's not. Just leave it alone. It'll be fine. And then they kind of continue about their life.
And then Nick gets he gets insurance on his memories, basically, where he gets some kind of encrypted memory system so he can upload all of his memories.
I wrote down the name of their server.
It's not past protect.
Chronomatically insulated server.
Which, as soon as it happened, we just turned to each other. How would that work?
Yeah.
Like, if the timeline has changed, how is that protected in other time? It doesn't make sense how that could possibly work.
Yeah. I would be like, what's the science behind this chronomatically?
If everything in time has changed, that place doesn't have that same info anymore.
Thank you so much for remembering that, Ari. You just made my whole...
Like, how would it be possible that a device that is holding your pictures, your movies... How would that survive outside of time?
I mean, let's give them the benefit of the doubt. They have some technology that has some radioactivity around it. It can stay solid through different changing time. I mean, it doesn't make sense. I'm trying to get something.
Well, and we find out that it doesn't work.
It didn't work.
It's in a strip mall. It's in a strip mall. She makes that joke later.
Yeah.
Where she's like,
in between Mrs.
Yeah, between Mrs. Fields cookies. Yeah. Which is like great to hear that Mrs. Fields cookies is still killing it in the future.
Yeah, so we're supposed to kind of know that this is like some futuristic world.
Right. But semi-future. Like the fashions are still pretty similar.
With like all sorts of product placement.
Oh my God. Yeah, Desmond, the product placement? Come on.
Well, the phones I recognized because I almost got one of those phones.
That's the new Samsung, right?
I was so close, but I don't believe they're quite ready yet.
It's like a flip phone?
Yeah, it's a new Samsung flip phone. So there's a bunch of those and they really focus and it's a fucking Amazon film, right? So like, I don't know. They have tablets that like, Ari and I were like, are these where they're doing the gestures from the stylus from a part of the screen? It's like, is that real? And it's like enough of a technology that's maybe not around yet, but it totally could be.
I know the paper tablets. I know those. I haven't actually seen one yet. I haven't touched one, but I've been seeing them advertised.
They're real?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we should assume.
So Amazon's trying to sell some stuff. That's how they got some money for this thing.
We should assume all the technology in this movie is a real thing and you can purchase it on Amazon.
I mean, it's used excessively. The phone and the screens are very much focused on. It is a big ass commercial.
Yeah.
And the cameras. Yeah.
I want to go actually to the end of the credits and be like, thank you to Samsung or whatever for their, or I want to see something.
The fucking credits on this movie. Oh my God. We can't talk about credits yet.
Oh, I didn't even watch the credits. Did you?
Oh, it's not about what's in the credits. It's
the music. All right. We'll talk about it later.
It's kind of my whole summation of the whole movie. The credits. Rest.
So he's paranoid.
So Nick,
he did find out that we just crossed over that she talked to him also. He was like threatening to do something to their ex. And then it comes out that she had talked to him and asked the ex to lay off.
Right. Cause she said, you don't stop caring about someone that you used to love. Right. She used to be married to him. And so she went to talk to him to basically be like, hey, you're not doing anything, right? You're going to leave us alone. And Tommy was like, no, I'm not doing anything. By the way, here's this gift of this retro technology. Cause I guess.
Yeah. Cause the way she said it, even I caught it too, where she was like, he's not going to do anything. And she said it like, I talked to him. He's not going to do anything. And me and Nick at the same time went, wait.
Why?
How do you know that?
Yeah, how would you know? He would change it and then your memory would be erased.
Yeah.
They do establish in this beginning that when the time phase happens, you have a little bit of your memories for about an hour or two. That's why they check in with each other. Like after that, your brain sets to the new time.
Yeah, that's very interesting. We'll have to talk about that for sure.
So he's talking to his sister a lot. We'll get deeper into that in a minute, but they're definitely setting up the characters. This movie has what, six people in it?
Yeah.
Total.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Like a good time travel movie. They don't have too many characters in it, so it's followable.
The sister has a friend who does not speak English that she's very attached to. Not a couple, but attached in a very weird way that seems like it's a couple, but they're afraid to say it.
Oh, that's right. So yeah. So before we get there, yeah, they keep on trying to get Nick to go rock climbing with them. He won't go. This rock climbing thing is a big deal. So unsurprisingly, the sister's friend dies in a rock climbing accident.
So, okay. But that happens after the big phase.
Yeah. Oh, the big phase.
So we haven't talked about the big
phase. No, she dies first before the big phase. Then they talk about it again after the big phase.
Her sister causes the big phase.
What? No.
Oh, no. I'm not talking about the big phase. I'm talking about the next chapter.
Right.
Like his sister causes chapter two, right?
No.
No.
Tommy does.
No.
Yes. This is the moment.
This is the moment, everybody.
The sister.
There's always a moment in our podcast where Desmond has a realization. This is that moment.
So she does her own thing, but that's not suggested to be linked to them.
The next chapter is absolutely caused by Tommy because
Janine
is now married to Tommy.
Yeah.
What causes him to want to? So Nick is like, we got to go.
So they have that fight. Once he finds out that she had been talking to Tommy, he gets really upset. He goes and he gets like the thing at the mall. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That happened before then. He gets upset. He throws the gadget. She makes that video that we see in the beginning where she's like, love is a circle. And
you don't know where it begins. Always.
He's at work. She's there. Finally, like they make up. They go, I don't want to fight. I love you. Oh, my God. Let's just take away. Let's take a trip together.
Well, he brings it up out of nowhere. It's not like they were like arguing and were like, we got to get out of here. Like she's like working. He's like, let's go. I'll pack up all your shit.
We also haven't talked about the fact before the conversation, he had a talk with Tommy. We didn't talk about that either.
Oh, yeah. He had like a drink with Tommy. And basically Tommy was like, you know, you stole my wife from me.
Yeah. Well, he said something about like, yeah, are you upset that I stole her? And he's like, none of us own anybody. But then he says like, what's kind of a neat, the phrase is like, the only thing as fleeting as time is love.
Is happiness.
Happiness.
He makes the point too, that like, that the scene's actually on right now where he's like, every time you get together, every time two people get together, you wipe out 1,000 timelines.
That's kind of cool, right?
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was a really good point.
if you start dating someone, you're not open to the possibilities of meeting all these other people.
Yeah, or someone else dating that someone.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And they set up that, like, he says, you're so lucky because you're rich. And like, he's like, people have been doing that. That's obviously a storyline with him. He's like, the only time I was happy was when I was with Janine.
Yeah. And so this is when Nick realizes, like, I'm so fucking lucky to have Janine.
Yeah.
Because that was just luck anyways. For me to not have Janine could happen just as quick. And that's what causes him to panic.
So then he says, let's take a trip. Let's just get away. Kind of like, as you know, a makeup trip. And as they're about to go on this trip.
Not a makeup trip. They're like leaving. He's like they're like.
It's like a vacation.
It felt like they were going away where Tommy couldn't find them, or where that a phasing might not affect.
How could Tommy not find them in time?
Yeah, no, it was just like a, hey, let's go on a vacation. We've been going through some rough times.
Okay. He's like, whatever we, you know, we'll take whatever we can, whatever we don't have, we'll buy whatever we need.
Yeah, he's trying to be romantic and spontaneous. Yeah.
Okay. So it's just a trip, but it's a,
yeah.
Grab your handbag and your credit card trip.
Yeah. He's trying to be spontaneous.
Okay.
So they're about to go on this trip and a huge wave phase comes, and when it settles,
he's driving a car in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, he is like, yeah, somewhere else immediately.
Yeah, like, where is he? Like,
he's driving a car outside the city,
middle of fucking nowhere.
Yeah, it's just a random
so gorgeous shot. That's clearly a Tesla commercial.
Product placement.
Can you get a Tesla on Amazon yet?
Yeah, exactly. So the interesting thing about this movie, when someone goes back in time and changes something, it is a ripple effect, a butterfly effect that, you know, ripples forward through time, changing the present. Okay, we all agree on that. But in this movie, which other movies have done, like Butterfly Effect, but in this movie, you have about 2 hours of your old memories still, and they slowly start to fade till you don't remember it anymore. So as soon as the big wave or phase happens, he tries to call Janine, and her number is not in his phone, but somehow Janine calls him and says, I've never met you.
She remembers for the
first 2 hours, but she also knows that in the new timeline, she's like, we've never met. I'm married to Tommy, been married for 9 years. And, you know, like, what do we do? And he's like, I don't know. We'll figure it out. And then the phone gets disconnected and he's starting to lose his memories. And that's when he goes back to
his house.
His house, but also he goes to the memory bank place with the chronomatically insulated server, and shocking, it didn't work. They don't have any of his memories, and they just, you know, reassure him that he'll get a full refund.
Yeah.
How paranoid would you be if you lived in a world where this happens, of like anything you forget or that feels off, you'd be like, no, oh my God, this person probably not my boyfriend or girlfriend. My keys probably never were there. Is this my house? Why does it feel weird to me? So paranoid.
Super paranoid. That's a good point.
You just have to live in the moment and not.
So is this because the time jaunt had such an effect on him that his memories were erased? Like, if nothing changed, would your memories probably still be there because your past would be so similar?
Yeah.
But because he's lived the last 10 years in a different town or a different house, and never would have had a reason to go to past protect.
Yeah, it was such.
That his memories were never saved to begin with.
It was such a drastic shift. Yeah.
He didn't remember where he lived. I think he found out through his computer or something.
Because she said it's drastic for you, right?
The woman. She said you were hit with a huge time shift or whatever she called it.
Yeah.
She's like, you must have been hit. You know, we can't find any of your stuff.
So she's aware of the time shift too.
Yeah.
But her past didn't change. She's just like,
right.
I don't know, just another wave. No big deal.
Yeah. It's like
the weather.
It's interesting. That's why it comes back to that question of when a wave hits, it hits everybody, the entire world, the entire universe, but only if certain people are changed or affected.
Yeah.
So here's my thought. So, you know, most people, you know, if you're trying to change like who the president is or something, that's going to have massive effects on the planet. But something like this, here's my thought. The explosion starts at the epicenter, which is him and Janine and Tommy. And then the farther you get away from them, the less of an effect it has on you.
Interesting.
I mean,
so like, even if you're just the barista that makes Tommy's coffee every fucking morning, like,
yeah, but what if one of the people that it affects either at that time or through the change is in Paris at the time? Like, let's say that, you know, he, through the change, it turns out that Alex and Nick were in Paris at the time.
I think so. It's not as much of a physical ripple effect as it is a cosmic ripple effect. So if the ripple is always going to go all around the earth, it just depends on how hard it hits you. So even if you're physically 2,000 miles away from Nick when this happens, you're cosmically attached. So you're still going to get hit hard with it when the ripple finally gets to you.
Yeah, I think that if your timeline is affected by the change, it's going to hit you hard.
Well, remember at the beginning when the first wave, when he's at work, it's really cool because you watch the wave go through the people and one woman, her shirt changes color, and the other guy phases into two different people. The guy that's sitting in the middle, first he looks like someone else, then he looks like a different guy.
See, and that's totally what
different person. That's really cool. Yeah. And they all, and everyone else does not, they're like, where'd Bill go? They're all just like treated like that guy was always the guy that worked next to them.
And this is,
that's really fun.
This is another movie where it all, and obviously this one fucking comes down to love. The more you love someone, like, you're not in love with your coworker, so you don't even realize it's a different person after that wave goes through.
Yeah, your head, they say your head is like, your memory is probably not perfect. It's a little cloudy and you're probably just focused on the main things.
Well, because when he, like, when his dog turns into a cat, he's like, that's weird. But when he's all of a sudden not married, he's like, fuck, like he gets hit by a freight train.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's only 2 hours. You only have
It's not a...
The time's not exact.
It's,
and you get cloudier as the time progresses.
Yeah. And I feel like,
I think the like distant feeling that he was having while he was with Alex in this next chapter was because he wasn't supposed to be with her. Right.
Right.
If you call it a soulmate or whatever, it always felt off because that wasn't his soulmate, right? He had found his soulmate and that's who he was supposed to be with. And something got changed. And so that's why his off haziness lasted longer. But yeah. I think it's just the 2 hours that you still have those memories and then they start to fade. So the fact that he didn't remember if he had a cat or not, you know, he was still at work when the
wave. He was still weird about it. He was still like, huh, I think I don't like cats.
Yeah.
He was still a little hazy.
I think it's, again, I think love is the.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. 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 Is, sure. The, anyway, is the thing. Cause he, like you said, he never really got rid of that feeling for Janine.
Right. For sure. Cause it's.
But so he goes home to a new house now in this new future, and Alex lives with him, and that is his partner.
It's his wife, right?
Are they married yet?
Yeah, I think they're married.
Oh, yeah. You're right. They're married. And he's weirded out. And here's the problem that I have is if this ripple happens all over the world, wouldn't everyone still remember the old life if you were in those first 2 hours? So he seems to know that something's off. She seems to be like, oh, we've always been married. Why are you acting weird?
Yeah, that's right. Alex didn't have any of the confusion, the 2 hour confusion.
She didn't even seem like she was hit with it. She doesn't even really acknowledge.
Right.
Like, you would think that whether you were massively affected or not, like, it seems like it's global knowledge that a wave hit.
Yeah.
And so you'd think there would be a little more sensitivity with everybody. Just like, are we cool?
That could be a hole. The fact that she didn't, because her life would have changed, right? Her life before that, she was not with Nick. So, but here's my thing. That very first time the wave hit and there was that man that changed two different times. Yeah. Everyone else was like, whoa, there was a wave. I need to call. That man was like, I didn't feel anything.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was like, I didn't notice anything. There was a wave. Like, I don't know if he said, was there a wave? But he was just like, I feel fine. I didn't notice. Because
he's only in the new timeline.
Yeah.
Only there in the new timeline.
So for him, the change wasn't right then and there. It happened however long ago for him to land there because it was changed. I don't know. Oh. But it is still kind of a hole that massive of a change wouldn't affect Alex either.
Yeah.
As well. I mean. So,
yeah, if Alex and Tommy and Nick and Janine are all tied in this love quadrangle.
Yeah.
Like, she would have some kind of.
So Nick is distant. He feels off. He's not sleeping in the same bed with her. They're barely talking to each other. He's just not happy.
So is the sister's friend still alive?
Okay. So now the sisters
calls and says, guess what? She's alive.
No. Okay. So wait, when did she die?
Before the big ripple.
She died before the big ripple?
Yes.
Okay. So we skipped that part. So Nick's sister has a close friend who rock climbs and she fell, and Nick's sister's blaming herself because she wasn't there. And this happened before the big ripple, before chapter two. Chapter two starts and we get a call from sister saying she's alive.
And but addressing the fact that she had called him previously and said that she was dead. So this is saying that that storyline still happened, and they even still had that conversation in both these timelines.
See, now,
so she was pretending like it's part of the phase at this point, saying she's alive again. So she's owning up that was just, and that's fine. That's a consistent thread.
But she says she went and fucked with time.
Yeah. Later on, we find that she went jaunting.
She lied.
That's
she
why
went
I think she's the one that caused the first ripple. I don't think it was Tommy.
Her jaunt. No, because she wouldn't take.
It doesn't matter. She's still you're fucking with it, though. Like, does Tommy.
It was definitely Tommy.
I think it's supposed to be Tommy.
It was definitely Tommy because they're married. And Tommy even said something like, I thought he'd be happy with Alex. Like, he set it up in a way that he was trying to have Nick still be happy with Alex. It was definitely Tommy.
Yeah, that's kind of what they're setting up, because then the whole story, then he sets Tommy up at the end to be happy.
Yeah.
And that's how it corrects everything.
Okay.
That's what we think the movie is intending to do. There's no part.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's what Wikipedia says too.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's lots of, they're not going into the butterfly effect of like, when someone does this, something else randomly happens. I mean, a little bit, but they're trying to say people are going back in time and changing major things.
Yeah.
Purposely. Even though you're not supposed to, it's illegal. But how would you ever get busted?
In the words of Wikipedia, Tommy committed a time crime.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, for sure. But so did his sister.
Yeah.
Right? Like, she brought someone back to life. That's huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she says, I did it. It was freaking expensive. I used all my money.
For this person who's just a friend.
For this person
who she cannot communicate with.
Speaks another language.
She doesn't profess to. It's just, it's very random and weird.
Oh, we know she loves her.
So my question is, the kind of ripple that it would need to bring someone back to life would have been huge, right? You talk about potentially different sizes of ripples, or just that they affect you greatly or not greatly. So that ripple that would have had to have happened to bring her friend back to life, everyone would have experienced, including Nick and Janine or Nick and Alex or whoever. Why didn't they show that ripple?
Yes.
They just said, oh, she's back. I went and traveled and now she's alive.
Right. Does everything cause a ripple? Is it only if it affects you personally? No, because some people don't get affected that much. Yeah.
So why didn't they show that ripple?
Well, it can't be. They make it sound like people jaunt all the time.
So there would be ripples happening.
So would there be ripples happening? Yeah, like three times a week?
Because even the smallest change, like you step on a butterfly, that could change something. Yeah. And so it would require a ripple. And if all the ripples looked that like that wave of water, they would be happening all the time if rich people were jaunting all the time.
Yeah, you think you would make that illegal. I can't imagine making this legal where like time could always be changing. I guess, you know, to make money. And if it's corrupt, sure.
It was such a big deal and yet not a big deal. Like, once you could afford to time travel, they're just like, oh, yeah, just be careful.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay. And
yeah, they don't really like really drive home the seriousness of what could potentially happen for changing the, like, just don't change anything important for personal gain.
Even if he wasn't trying to change his partner, going to a party with a bunch of people that he was, not only was he not at that party, he was across town sick. So like, he explains to the woman basically what he's going to do.
Yeah.
So we're jumping the gun a little bit.
Basically he decides to travel. He's so miserable and he learns.
Well, he falls in love with her for a second. He tries to, right? He's miserable. He looks at photos one day and he's like, I could get into this. And then like, they have a montage to an old early 2000 song by Lamb. And then
God had a good time looking up the music.
And that song was just so time inappropriate. I love it. It's from a genre from the early aughts. I was like, that music just seemed, it's very old school for me. And then like, I looked it up and yes, it was. It's late 90s Lamb. Yeah. But then he's still like, he has a hard time with it. She talks to Tommy. It's like her confidant.
Yeah. So Alex is still talking to Tommy because they used to be friends in college in La Jolla. And she still talks to him now. And Nick kind of realizes that they've been friends for a long time and that they care about each other. And he kind of, I guess, has a realization that maybe they should have been together.
Well, he gets the call from the chronomatically insulated servers that they have something. And when he sees it, it's like a fraction of a blur from that video she made, but it's enough that like stirs in him something big. And I think he makes the decision
to travel.
That's weird. It's a weird impetus to spend all your money to travel without knowing. He doesn't remember her at this point. He's doing it just
to. But it's not because of the clip. He's doing it because he can tell that Alex and Tommy had a thing.
Yeah.
And based on that conversation where she's like, you don't understand. It was really hard for Tommy. Right. He was really sad. He used to confide in me. But, you know, Alex and Nick were dating back then.
Yeah.
And then Tommy met Janine. So
he just goes back to be selfless, or he thinks something significant happened on that.
Yeah.
And he can't place his finger on it.
Yeah. He's doing it. Yeah. What convinces him is that he may get the love of his life back, but knowing that he and Alex were probably not meant to be together, that Alex and Tommy were meant to be together. So now
it's
selfish and selfless.
He said he couldn't afford this before. And now all of a sudden he can afford it. But whatever.
Well, I mean, if it's a Hail Mary, you can afford it. This isn't what you're going to do on the weekend instead of bowling or roller skating.
All right.
So he travels. You see him sitting down with a
travel agent
in a lounge with a travel agent lady. And she explains all the rules and he explains where he wants to go and he transfers the money. And then
he has a cocktail.
And they like put some extra hair on the top of his head and change his shirt. And they say,
oh, yeah, that's interesting.
Oh, did they add hair?
Yeah, he looked to look time appropriate. They change his haircut and put on the right clothes.
I saw the clothes, but I didn't really.
And then they
13 years. He's going 13 years ago.
He has 13. A cocktail. They put him in a lounge chair
and give him.
You know, it's like water. It's like it was like a glass of water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With something in there.
Yeah.
And he sits and lays back. And then there's like a guy behind a window that says,
relax. They put a watch on him. They said he can afford 24 hours.
Yeah.
They said, we will
retrieve
you, quote unquote.
And talk about some lazy time traveling.
They can send him anywhere at any time.
So
anywhere it's time and space.
Time
travel.
And space. So the
he goes to the beach.
So wait, what did you say in the beginning of the show? You said, "We are your constants." And what was the thing you said for your the opening of the show?
Hakima.
Hakima.
What is that?
That is their Siri.
Oh, Hakima.
He always tells, "Hey, Hakima, give me directions home. Hey, Hakima, call Janine.
Oh.
Hey, Hakima."
Which Hakima means echo in some other language.
I kept meaning to look it up.
Yeah.
And see what it was.
So Nick sits back, closes his eyes. Someone counts down from 10. And then he is magically, I don't know, there's no science in this.
No.
Somehow.
It is really creepy. We jumped over. I think I interrupted you. The fucking guy behind the curtain. Like,
yeah,
there was no need for creepy Oz guy
behind the glass. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is one of those things that drives me crazy. And this is something that drives me crazy in all movies. So this one doesn't get any credit for it. But where, like, I understand how they have to keep us, the watcher, a little bit in the dark to be surprised.
Yeah.
But to have him, obviously no one told him what he was going to do. No one told him he was going to drink this crazy elixir, that he was going to have to relax, that there was going to be creepy guy in a dark room giving him, like, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it's just lazy. They don't show how it's done. They don't explain it. They're, like I said, this is a love story that happens to have a little bit of time travel in it.
Yeah.
So he appears on the beach on that night when he was in college, you know, the night he was supposed to be sick, and he talks to Tommy and says, "Hey, Tommy, I just want you to know that I actually do like you as a person. I don't just like you for your money. And I'm going to break up with Alex. And I think you guys should be together." So he does. And then he writes himself a letter, right?
Uh-huh. His past self, who's sick in the dorm.
And leaves it in his dorm. And there's so many holes when it comes to this.
Yeah. Yeah. We were talking about that. First of all, that you're going to trust this letter. It says, by the way, your girlfriend you're totally broken up with. And you should just let it go and just wait and trust this letter from someone you don't know, from some future self. There's no time travel yet. It raises so many questions. besides the fact that he's going to talk to his friends and they'll be like, hey, that was weird when you came last night. I'm like, no, I was homesick. And like, that's going to seem really fucked up and weird and something that's you're going to be obsessed about.
Yeah.
That's not something you just let it slide.
Yeah.
Because again, this movie sets nothing up. So we don't know how long time travel's been a thing.
Yeah.
Like, so we don't know if 13 years ago, people are already doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a huge hole. You're right.
So then he comes back from traveling and he's just kind of sleepy on that same couch.
Yeah.
And then we enter chapter 3, which is a new timeline now. And he is living alone in some kind of not so great apartment. And he is just depressed and not happy.
And he's thinking about getting a cat.
He's thinking about getting a cat. Yeah. And his sister is worried about him.
He still has the same job.
Yeah.
He still, all those things are the same.
Oh, yeah. Within every timeline, we see the same meeting.
Yeah. That's what I was just saying to Ari. So it's literally the same meeting. He's saying the same things. I said, that doesn't make sense because he's not going back in time. It's just shifting. So that would have already happened. There's no reason to have the same exact meeting.
I don't think they intended it to be the exact same meeting.
He's saying the same exact thing.
He can't be saying the same exact thing.
He is.
He might just be saying something similar. They wanted to make it seem like it was mundane and it was repetitive, but it's not the same exact thing.
It shouldn't be.
Well, and it's possible in this new timeline that the meeting got pushed back. So it's possible that the same meeting happened on a Wednesday in one timeline, didn't happen until Friday on another, and so on and so forth.
But it's not, he's not doing time again. Time continues forward.
I get it. That's the issue.
It's one of the things, I think it's
they're trying to show a constant.
I think it's verbatim.
Yeah.
I agree with you, Ari. Like, it probably should be like a weird new timeline twitch, but I think this is a tight monologue to remind you that like, some things never, your boring fucking job never changes.
But it's not the same exact day.
Oh, right.
No, no.
Right.
Okay. It's not this, it's not the exact day repeating. It's just
the same conversation.
It happens, this the same topic of conversation for a meeting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we agree on that.
Yeah.
So he's like depressed and not happy and single. And
he looks like shit.
He looks like shit and he eats like shit and he...
Oh yeah, it's funny. At the beginning of the movie, he cooks for his wife and it's just like the steak with like the sauce on it and it's pan seared. And then when he's eating by himself, it's like lean cuisine in the microwave.
Yeah, being single is not good for your health.
No, it's not.
So...
No, it's not.
So his sister's really worried and his sister says, hey, how come you haven't talked to your friends from La Jolla? You used to be so close with them. You haven't talked to them in like, you know, 13 years or whatever it is. And he was like, I don't know, I just don't. And then she said, you know, we're going to a party. Or no, Tommy calls him because it's his birthday. Tommy calls Nick. And
his sister
like, hey.
Calls Tommy.
Tommy.
Right.
To call,
yeah. Yeah, his sister calls Tommy to call
Tommy
him.
Invites him to a party and just says, come for one drink. We miss you.
Again, the same party that's happened in all three timelines. The Dana and the whatever those two people are. Like in the first timeline, they went to the party and then on the way home, she's like, oh, they're going to get a divorce. In the second timeline, they were having a party and it was because...
For their kid?
Yeah, they were having a baby. And then the third timeline, I think they were just doing great and they just wanted to... Or maybe it was a birthday on the third. But yeah, what that's another thing that repeats in every timeline too is these...
Is this party.
This... God, it's bugging me that I can't remember their fucking name.
Yeah, the couple she wears a scarf.
Anyway, but Tommy is like a nice guy. I think he feels better about his life.
Yeah, his business is going well. He's with Alex, right? Because of what he did back in La Jolla. And she's pregnant and she's happy and they just want him to be happy. They just want Nick to be happy. But Nick is so sad about this and he's about to leave the party. He's walking away and he bumps shoulders with somebody and he spins around right as a flash goes off because someone's in the party in the background taking pictures and he sees her. And who is it? It's Janine and they lock eyes and the music plays that Scott loves.
Well, not only that, he starts to leave.
Yeah.
And then he grabs onto the door jamb with his hand and the movie opens with her filming his hand.
Oh.
And then it ends.
That's a nice catch.
So artistic.
Yes, it is.
And then the song from 1996 comes back on.
And because love is a circle. And
there you have it.
There you have it.
Fuck.
The end.
Fuck this movie.
Oh, the opinion has now been dropped.
Oh!
So yeah, I looked at a lot of reviews on this. Everyone was mostly like, it's sloppy, or it's just like about two guys fighting over a woman, or it's just not consistent. It's awkward. But again, those concept, the concept of like the rich people can only time travel and the time waves that happen, like weather and checking in, is really great. And some of the reviews try to compare that to like being in quarantine and like how your life can change and checking in with your people and whatever. It's a stretch, but
this is the most squandered, brilliant idea I've
What part of what? Why do you think it's so brilliant?
The time travel is.
But what specifically? Because we see a lot of time travel. Why do you like this?
The fact that it's just common knowledge that people time travel. Everyone knows it. It's just a thing you do, like catching a train, and your entire past could be wiped out without your even knowing of it.
Yeah, there's a lot you could do with this, and you're
so.
You're saying it's a shame that it's wasted on this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hear you. I see what you mean.
And it shouldn't, like, I should be able to see a movie like this and be like, oh, this is a good idea. Like, let's see what the next person does. But this, like I said, it's such a shame that with time travel movies, this idea is now dead because this movie fucking owns it. And it's, we need to get over that with time travel.
That's like saying that they can't do loop movies because Groundhog Day owns it.
Yeah,
and that didn't stop
it. You could do it again, Desmond. You could write that script if you really wanted.
You're right. You're right. But I would have to do it, and I would have to take a big leap that I could get away with it.
A quantum leap?
But like, yes. Hoping that the next script I write will be the script that buys my mansion.
No, but you could take this idea, because it is an interesting idea that time travel is common knowledge, that only rich people can do it. And it's, you know, something you have to deal with. And like Scott said earlier, it would be kind of a paranoid world. Like, did someone change my past? Did I piss off my boss or my coworker and they went back in time and screwed me over? You know, it's an interesting concept. It really is.
And it would get so fucking messy.
Yeah, it would.
You'd be paranoid. Things would always be shifting.
I mean, if three people went back in time in one day and just not even anything major, but just three big enough deals, like the cosmic, the butterfly effect could be insane.
I mean, you talk about the idea that the rich can get away with more and they have less consequences. And now here's an example where the rich can actually alter time and space and get away with it.
Well, and I think something that wasn't explored in this enough either. Well, nothing was explored in this, is assuring that your timeline is going to be what you want when you get back.
Yeah.
Like, if you go back 13 years, let's say you do make this person fall in love with you. That doesn't mean you don't fall out of love in the next 13 years and you still show up. And now it's like, fuck.
Or that some major accident happened. Because let's say you got them to love you, but you know, you caused a major car crash and that you were in, or they were in, or someone else you love was in.
Yeah, that's a good question.
She was at her wedding that day instead of in surgery where she was supposed to be, and the other fucker that had to sub for her killed the guy on the table.
If you change the timeline, but then you died since then, do you come back or you just don't come back because you're dead in the future when you come back?
That's a good question.
Ari brought up the fact that they don't explain, but if you change the timeline, do you have the memory of the previous timeline? Or do you also, the when they're showing Orlando Bloom, Tommy later, I'm like, does he remember that he changed the timeline? Or probably not, probably 2 hours. And then he probably doesn't remember that he even changed it anyway.
Yeah. What happens to the person that travels? Do they remember both timelines?
Because you could rationalize why that could happen. But I think in this logic, nobody does after 2 hours.
Yeah, because it doesn't. In this movie on chapter 3, when it's just Nick, he doesn't remember being with Alex, you know, when he sees her.
That's right. He's just miserable and alone because he didn't fall in love with anybody.
He probably loses those memories, as well.
Yeah. And this could be like, they could have, at some point, somehow, another timeline has to be created.
Okay.
Like, I feel like if you play with this concept enough, like maybe two people go back in time, change something unrelated, but then when they come back to the present time, it gets wrapped up and somehow gets spit out as two timelines or something. Like, I think that's an inherent danger in this universe.
Well, I mean, in a story like this, where rich people could potentially be changing the present constantly, you would need a constant, right? As you're talking about an anchor or a constant, you would need something, right? Like,
yep.
Yeah.
Cause then it could just be haywire. There'd be nothing to hold the story to, like, okay, where's the resolution? So there always has to be a constant. And so I think for this one, the constant was, as cheesy as it is, love.
It's, yeah.
Right? Like the love between Janine and Nick.
Yep.
Right. And it also asks the question, like, you know, I think they're supposed to have this extreme supreme love, but for other people, you think that you're with the soulmate, but in this other reality, you think that person is. And most of them are probably walking around in that.
And like his sister and her friend, they just live happily ever after, don't they? Like consequence free, at least as far as the end of this movie.
Yeah. She cannot understand her for the rest of eternity because she speaks Portuguese. I would imagine this couldn't be legal because of those ramifications. It would almost make sense if there's like some back alleyway to time travel. Only the rich could do it, but like it's hard to imagine this would be legal. That's some pretty crazy stuff.
Well, and that's where I think if you do this, I think if this is a thing, it's legal and you can do it, you're just not allowed to fuck with anything, then you have to go back with your travel agent, basically.
With a time cop.
With a person, yeah.
Yeah.
How would they ever regulate it? How would they know if you change all of time?
How would they know?
And the first rule would be you can't go back before time travel was invented. So that when you go back, your travel agent can talk to someone who understands what's going on.
Yeah.
Huh.
And then, of course, you write the movie where you go back before time travel is invented and all hell breaks loose. But yeah, it's just crazy. Yeah, it's so scandalous, but yet,
Yeah, the film raises these ideas that shake the fabric of the cosmos, but it's also just like, yeah, not that much happens. Like the reviews I met is like, it's amazingly slow for like what's going on.
It was, so here at the very end, I'm looking at the time, there's 10 minutes left. So I'm like, okay, something's going to happen. Like something is going to go, we're going to do some time travel shit at the end and it's going to save this whole thing. We have more than enough time to do it. The credits on this movie were like 8 minutes long. This thing had a Hobbit level amount of credits.
It's probably mostly all the product placement. Thanks.
I think it's just one of those movies where like everybody got their own like 5 second panel and it just took forever.
Jeez, yeah.
But yeah, that's when I was just like, yeah, I kept holding out because I'm like, there's so much time. There's no way this movie has more than 5 minutes of credits. Never say never.
Yep. It was a bit disappointing.
It was, yeah, I'm so bummed because I want to love this movie more for what I guess I can. I guess I can just say I love this movie for the time travel that it introduced. And
it was well acted, well cast, well acted, but the story itself was just not so good.
Yeah. And they didn't even rush it. Like as a 90 minute movie, then you'd be like, okay, I can see why you just did a quick love story and got in and got out.
Yeah. When he's depressed with Alex, they really, really drive that home. They really show a lot of it. And they didn't need to show that much of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I like the montage.
So Can we ask the question, Desi?
Yes.
You want to ask it or can I?
Ask it, Ari. Do it. Mix it up. It's a new timeline. It's a new timeline where Ari has the question.
All right. I think I'm going to ask Scott first. Scott, if you had the opportunity to use this time travel device, would you do it?
Yes.
And why? And when and where would you go?
I would change some stuff around.
It's very expensive, though.
Would you? You'd do it to change stuff around? I know.
First of all.
Well, I also want to.
Can you afford it?
No. So I guess that answers the question.
We don't know how much it is. I mean, it's, you know, you might have to max out a credit card, but you know, you're going to change your, if you're going to change
it. It seems like it floors people. It seems like, my guess is it's at least like $500,000.
No.
No, you think more or less, says?
Less.
No, because that woman was like, she's like, I have nothing left. I have all my savings are gone. Then you got to make time. I mean, if everybody could time travel, like it was nothing. Oh my God. Yeah. There's been ripples every second. They said only the rich. So like some people have 100.
Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking the only the rich can do it regularly. I feel like it's one of those things where like most people could go, well, no, if you could, because again, you're going to, if you can spend your last dime on it, you're right. Because everyone goes back 10 years and buys stock.
Right.
And then we're all screwed.
And then everyone's rich or screwed or whatever. Yeah. So it's expensive. I think it's at least $750,000.
Okay.
I mean, of course, I just want to time travel. So I just want
to
do
but
that.
But you go back to change something. That's what you said,
yeah,
Scott.
Yeah, maybe it's either or just go back to do my walk around the 60s that I always like saying I do.
Oh, this would be the one. This would be
a walk around Berkeley in 68, 69.
Oh, you can meet my mom.
Okay.
My mom was there in 69.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's for, and he only did it for 24 hours. So like, yeah, if you want to go back to Woodstock, you know, if you want to go do a 4-day affair, like.
Oh yeah. And he could only had a 20-mile radius.
Oh yeah. That's right. But you could buy, that's right.
So luckily he lives close to the tomb. Where his
so yeah, a billionaire could just drop a B and go back for a week and just travel all around the globe and just fucking, I mean, just the simple idea of stealing someone's seat on a plane would just cause
so much change.
So much change.
Yeah. So, but we like ripple effect and it doesn't happen that often. So that's exciting for all of us.
I do this 1,000, you couldn't not. I mean, price tag aside,
yeah,
like this is just so easy and so everyday and so,
yeah, what does he say? He says history is no longer just something in like textbooks, like it's not just owned by that, like you are,
you can experience,
yeah, you can experience,
yeah,
it,
you are history.
So you would do it, Desmond, if you could afford it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's no consequences, right? Like you do what you want, you change what you want, you come back.
I mean, you're not supposed to change.
Yeah.
I think I would do it. I think I would use this. Let's pretend like I have the money to do it annually. Like
instead of the trip to Disneyland, you go and do your time travel trip. You get excited, you save up for it.
It would be something like it, well, and it would be one of those things where it's like, I want to go to Disneyland, but that's the weekend that Scott, like I have to go to Disneyland with the family. But that's the week that Scott is going to Vegas with some people. And I want to do that too. So I go to Disneyland and then I come home and then I go back a week and I go to Vegas with Scott.
Well, you're very wealthy if you can do that. Yeah.
Like, well, that's what I'm saying. Once a year, I'm just pretending like I can afford to do this for one weekend a year. This is my, I work 60 hours a week. I never take time off.
Yeah.
And once a year, I just double up on a weekend vacation. I only get 3 days. I'm working my ass off. This place doesn't give me any time off. So I gotta use that time off twice.
Instead of researching like the cultures of places you visit, you research time periods.
Yeah.
You're like, what do they say in slang in the 70s? What do they wear?
Well, and I would even be like, Scott, you're going to Vegas. Have fun. Oh.
What happened?
Did you just have an orgasm?
Oh.
Yep.
Okay. Help me unravel this. Scott goes to Vegas. I go to Disneyland. I call Scott, ask him what he's up to. I go home. I tell Scott, I'm going to be on that trip with you. I know I'm not there now, but next week I'm going to go to last week and I'm going to Vegas with you. So now I go back in time and I'm on the Vegas trip with you. Do I still call you from Disneyland?
Yeah, because there's two of you.
But there wasn't two of me the first time.
No, he's changed the timeline.
When I called Scott the first time from Disneyland, I was only in Disneyland. I haven't gone back in time yet.
Oh, no, wait, she's right. No, oh, shit, wait.
So this, ladies and gentlemen, is a time travel, like, math word
there
problem.
There can be two of you. Yeah, there is two of you because there was two of him.
If you can solve it, we will give you a prize.
There was two of him.
What is the answer to this time travel word problem?
So I would always be in both places. So every time I called you from Disneyland, I would always be able to talk to myself in Vegas.
Yes, you could call yourself.
Is Scott correct? Ladies and gentlemen, I put that on you.
Send your answer to timepoppod@gmail.com. That is timepoppod@gmail.com. Is there a timeline alpha where there is one Desmond in Disneyland before there are two Desmonds in two different places? Now,
if you are correct, Scott will give you a prize.
It gets even weirder. I go back again and Ari and I go to Canada.
Canada? Why Canada?
But it does work because he is back in the past. When he is sick in the room, the other version of him is there. You can have two at the same time. That does work. So I think it would work. But still, listeners, voice up. We want to get other people on the show. Maybe you could share their opinions if time is linear or not.
I know the answer. Let's see if you guys do.
It's not. Time is not linear.
If you want the answer, you got to send in the question to Ari at timepoppod@gmail.com. And let us know what we should watch too. Like this was, I mean, I just picked this movie because it was recent. And again, I'm so glad I got introduced to this time travel. Like this movie upset me in so many ways. Thank you guys so much. That was awesome. Thank you, Ari. You helped us really drive through that movie because I was like, I could barely get into it to get to the end, to get to the important stuff. And this was a very interesting movie that deserved our time and energy. And thank you for getting us there.
Interesting, yes. Good, no. No.
Let me double check here. Scott, final thoughts.
I like the quote about happiness is the only thing that is fleeting, just like time. That's kind of neat.
Happiness is the only thing that's more fleeting than time.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, there it is. One. This got one ding in doesthedogdie.com.
Because of the dog?
Oh, because the dog is phased out of that. Well, the dog's not with them.
Does someone fall to their death?
Oh.
We don't even see it. It happens off. An off-screen accident is the only thing that gets this movie on Does the Dog Die?
Wow, they're really thorough on that website.
Here are my final thoughts. Why are men? Seems like a provocative question, but it's an incredibly reasonable response to John Ridley's sci-fi romance, Needle in a Time Stack.
Why are men? Yeah. Is that what you said?
That's great.
That's
why are men?
That's my Rotten Tomatoes review of the day. Why are men?
Alrighty.
Wow.
Until next time. Sorry. Until next time, I'm Desmond McNeese.
I'm Ariel Gala.
And I'm Scott Lifton.
Bye-bye now.
You've been time popped.
Ooh. So my question is, all right, let me let you guys.
The whole podcast should be non-linear.
Exactly.
Chunks.
Exactly.
Get your giggles out, boys. All
right, go ahead.
Get your giggles out.
We're good.
Okay. So my question is.
All right. Keep going.
Okay. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Desmond, we're good?
Desmond, I got you a 4-pack. It's coming up prime tomorrow.
Oh boy.
You gotta be home to sign for it.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com. Sometimes I stare at you from across the room and wonder, if I didn't know her, would I love her? What's the answer? You know what the answer is?